I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. You've actually done it to yourselves. You've tuned in for yet another episode of Is It Just Me?
Your fault, whatever happens now.
Oh, God, the fact. Hello, yeah. Joe Elvin.
Hi.
Hi, I'm James Williams, yeah. The other host of Is It Just Me? The show that basically likes to put nonsense front and centre, the very important stuff,
right,
I should say.
Right where it
belongs. Right where it belongs. So thank you for joining us once again. And don't worry, it's not just me and Joe. We are, as ever, joined by a third wheel. Oh, that's quite a good pun I've just done there, actually. Anyway, we are joined this week by the lovely actress. You'll know her for the hugely successful TV show Outlander, but she's also going to be lighting up the big screen very soon in Le Mans 66. We are delighted to welcome to Is It Just Me this week the lovely Katrina Balf.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Crowd goes wild.
Insert applause. Yeah. How are you, Katrina?
I'm doing really well.
You've had a day of publicity. Are you?
Publicity. Yes, I have. But I got to bring our film to Leicester Square, to the Odeon Cinema last night. So
How was that?
Doesn't get much better than that.
Does that ever get tired?
I don't know. It's my first time.
Really?
So it wasn't tired after that one time. So.
Really?
That's exciting.
Yeah. And did it rain? It did, didn't it?
No, actually, it rained later, but it was actually dry for that. And everyone was like, aren't you cold? And I was like, I just flew down from Glasgow. This is balmy. What's wrong with you people?
It was a bit muggy yesterday.
The weather's all over the place. It's impossible to get dressed at the moment. I feel like you never.
I agree.
Yeah. We've gone to the very heart of the matter.
Global warming is really tragic on the wardrobe.
It's a terrible inconvenience.
I mean, geez.
Yeah. But for Katrina, for those who don't know much about this film, tell us a little bit. In a nutshell, if you're going to sort of do an elevator pitch for Le Mans 66, how would you sort of sell it?
Okay, this is an incredible film about friendship, about teamwork, but it is about this ragtag team of men who decided to take on the might of Ferrari, who were dominating Le Mans for about 10 years. And so it's this American team who were eventually working for Ford who went on and to take on Ferrari. And that's a terrible elevator pitch.
No.
I just did it.
No, it's
but
not.
It has an incredible cast.
It has an amazing cast.
Christian Bale, Matt Damon. My question is, how quickly did it take you to say yes?
Very quickly. I mean, it's not just the amazing cast, but Jim Mangold's the director, yeah, who is amazing. I mean, he did Girl Interrupted, Walk the Line, Logan.
Wow.
All of these amazing films. And the script was by Jez and John Henry Butterworth, who are, you know, they've written a few good things.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like all round. It was just sort of tick, tick, tick.
But it was funny. I can't remember. I heard an actor say the other day that it is hard being an actor, because obviously, you know, you sign up to the script by an amazing person, the director. Director's done all this work, the actors are amazing, but ultimately you need that little bit of magic, don't you? Because on paper, yeah, things have all sound great, but ultimately things just don't work. Did it feel special when you were making it?
It really did. I mean, Jim is kind of like this Pied Piper. He's like crazy energy. If you've got to meet him, he's very bombastic, very gregarious, but he creates this really amazing atmosphere on set. And for me, walking on, like, I was slightly intimidated, I'm just going to, you know, be honest about it.
So when you said that was your first sort of film premiere, is this your first film.
No. It was my first big premiere in London at like Leicester Square. I haven't done a huge amount of films, but this was sort of, I mean, it's the first time I've done a big premiere in London, which is kind of amazing. Exciting.
But that's because you're so busy on a very hugely successful TV show, right? Because Outlander must keep you fairly busy the year round, right?
We have a crazy schedule, yeah.
So how many months of the year are you actually on production for Outlander?
Well, this is our shortest and it's 9.5 months.
Wow.
It's like it's like a pregnancy.
Exactly.
And
did you have any idea, going back to the whole question about magic, and I mean, you know, did you have any idea when you got the script for Outlander that it was going to be essentially this mini phenomenon, right? Because I mean, you know, she's had Golden Globe nominations, it's global.
Crazy whirlwind. It is global, and Australia, it's very popular in Australia.
Yes.
No, we'd no idea. I mean, it's this great book series, but I had not heard of the book series before I got the audition.
You've read them all now, though.
I do love you saying that, though. Yeah.
once we sort of were let into this world, you realize how amazing it is and how passionate the fans are, and it's a phenomenon. Like, it really is. And I think, you know, we're very aware that this doesn't happen very often, so it's very cool.
And is there an end point, or do you think it'll keep rolling and rolling?
I mean, we've no idea. We do know that we've been picked up for next season. So
that's six, right?
So that will be season six. Hopefully, I think, you know, Diana is about to release book 9, I think, or 10. I can't. Yeah. So, you know,
there's plenty in the tank yet.
Potential to still go for quite a while.
And that is the dream, I always think, for actors, right? To have, because obviously everyone talks about the sort of nomadic world of acting where you don't really know where your next job's coming from. But I guess to have that mixture of being able to be on a very successful TV show and then also have some time to do the film stuff around it. Yeah. Is that sort of
it's weird to have stability. I've never had it before.
It's overrated stability.
I mean, before this job, I think my longest job had been 5 weeks. So given that we're at year six, this is an odd thing for me to be like this long in one place. But it's great. Like, it's really great. And I think it's also, you just get to live with a character for this long, which is also so cool and surprising, and you learn more each year, and yeah, we're just like some ragtag family in Glasgow sequestered away, which is very cool.
What was it like on Le Mans? Sorry, I'm so Australian. Am I saying
66?
That right?
Yeah, you are.
Le Mans 66.
So, somebody earlier said lemons. Just say lemon 66.
It's not a good thing to say.
I think that'll do good.
Yeah. Yes.
But what was it like walking onto set? What is it like when your co-stars are these massive sort of like juggernaut Hollywood names? How did that feel for you?
Well, I think the idea of it was really terrifying. But then when you actually get in there and you meet them, you're like, oh, they're just like, they're just normal. And, you know, both Matt and Christian are just such family men. And I think that was the first thing that strikes you about them. They're not walking around as like, oh, I'm a Hollywood movie star. You're like, oh my God, this is just like an amazing dad, and he's talking about his kids and his wife, and they are also incredible at their job. But that's the thing, when you start the work, all of that fades away.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're really humble. Like, both of those guys are very generous and humble in their personhood, and I think that's what just automatically puts you at ease.
Yeah. I mean, there was that famous temper tantrum that was sort of recorded with Christian.
Oh, we all have bad days.
Totally think that's justified.
Yeah.
I mean,
to be honest, yeah, I do as well, but it would make me really scared, like on my first day. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
he's a teddy bear.
I was like, nah, that doesn't scare me.
He's Welsh. Christian Bale's good people. He's Welsh.
Yeah. I also think it's justified. I think if you're working really hard, you know, there are certain rules on set, and it's like between action and cut, you don't move around. I mean, for a multitude of different reasons, just purely because you'll ruin a take. But if somebody's that invested in that, like, yes, there's probably a nicer way of saying it.
Hey, believe you me, Joe Elvins had a much worse meltdown after one bad commute in on the Jubilee line.
Oh, no, seriously.
The Jubilee line.
I'm not criticizing at all. I found that so cathartic to listen to.
It happens to famous people too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, true. So Le Mans is actually in theaters, as they say,
it's
in America,
in
this week. So do go check it out. Yeah. Yes, as in,
August,
we're going to...
August? November.
November.
November 15th. 15th.
November 15th. Do go check it out. So the question.
If you're listening to this in like November next year, we're really.
Oh yeah, sorry. It's on DVD. That's a bit old school. So it's on demand now. But yeah, it will be in cinemas on the 15th of November. So Katrina, now down to the main business of today. Are you ready to have some heated debates and discussions about some very silly topics?
Can I bring my Christian Bale in?
We want you to really fire up your Christian Bale.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah. We need this to go viral, Katrina.
Lose your shit. Is it just me that just doesn't get... I wasn't born with the car gene. Now, this is a bit on brand for what we're talking about for you.
It's great to say to the lady in the car.
I know, right? I don't worry. We had Charlie Cox, the poet, on a couple of weeks ago. And I said, is it just me that doesn't get poetry? I mean, I'm a charmer, Katrina.
You know,
what can I say?
It's just, I'm so charmed right now.
But you know what I mean? I almost feel like I'm missing out because I have friends who genuinely, they will sit there and watch hours of Grand Prix. They get really a bit too overly excited, I would argue, about essentially, you know, engines and bits of metal. I'm the person that if you said to me, Katrina, what kind of car does your dad drive? I'd be like, a blue one. Like, that's the level of my, like, car knowledge and, to be honest, interest. And I just feel a bit like, why? Why wasn't I born with
this?
We're
being silenced because... you are the only one.
I'm being silent because I'm enjoying Katrina's severe judging of all your statements.
She's giving me literally the burning stare.
I have to admit, I do love Formula One.
Do you?
I do, yeah, because I grew up...
Is that since the film?
No. Yeah. I grew up like with John Alessi, Alan Prost, and like Sienna, all of these. Okay, well, yeah. So
I've heard of Ayrton Senna.
If you haven't seen that documentary...
I know I have.
And if you haven't been like, holy shit, amazing man and what an amazing world. But yeah, no, I grew up watching Formula One. I still love to watch Formula One. I am probably one of the worst drivers. I didn't get my license till I was 30. So,
well, see, this again, I always felt, because I grew up in a rural sort of, you know, community where basically... You turned 17, you got your driving license. It was almost like a
so
way of getting...
But I was either you get your driver's license or leave, and I left. So,
but, well, that's what I mean. But obviously, even though it meant freedom and it meant, you know, getting away, I still took my time. I didn't feel that pressure.
Such
all my
a
other,
ball ache all my other driving lessons. Yeah. It's awful.
But some of my friends genuinely love driving. Like, some of my friends love to drive now. And I'm like, no, I don't find it...
Oh, I like driving.
Do you?
But I don't care what I'm driving.
I'm a bit.
It could
like,
be a Flintstones car. It's fine.
That's a bit harder on the feet, though.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
it might be difficult.
Yeah.
Well, I've had to take way too many driving tests in my life because I took one in New York State, and then very soon after that, I moved to California State. But because I'm an alien, albeit a legal one, I had to retake my test. And by the way, anyone can pass those tests in America. But then I moved to the UK and I've had to redo my test last year in
this
the
is like some hideous Groundhog Day.
If I move again, it's probably going to happen again.
I had to take the test in the UK and it's really hard.
This is my idea of an anxiety dream, like having to retake a test again and again.
That was the one that stressed me out. First of all, you have to do something like 20 plus hours of driving test or lessons.
And then I actually begged them if I could sign a contract saying I would never try to reverse park between two cars because I couldn't do it to test standard.
Really?
So my instructor found me the one place in I think Sevenoaks where he knew that they didn't have a car park designed to even test me on that.
Oh, you're giving some really good tips.
Yeah,
so they were really stressed about this part of their test.
You can't reverse park. Do your
Bind
test in
Sevenoaks.
Get to Sevenoaks now.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
but it's like it's crazy. Yeah. It's like a 45-minute test to do now. Whereas in America, you literally just have to drive around the corner and not hit somebody.
That's actually quite.
And then they're like, "Yeah, you're good."
But in California, they don't drive in the rain. Because they literally, that's true. I know that's a terrible sweeping generalization, but when I first
they just don't do it very well.
Well, no, but honestly, I'll never forget. I was in LA for work once for the wet Oscars, and it's like, it's legendary because it was the wet Oscars as opposed to the wet BAFTAs, which is every year.
It's like a porn film. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Literally, I was there for the weekend, and I remember getting there on the Friday night. It was a pre-Oscars party, and everyone was like, oh, it's raining. This party's going to be a washout. As in, no one's going to turn up. And I was like, what do you mean? People don't drive. Like, Los Angeles people do not drive in the rain. The poor party, barely anyone turned up. And it was like, and then people kept cancelling dinner plans the whole weekend.
Though, I don't know if you've noticed this. When I've been sort of like being out with friends, they will quite happily have a few drinks and then get behind the wheel.
Oh dear. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, think Uber has changed.
Yeah, you are right.
Uber has changed Los Angeles.
Because actually you could never get cabs before Uber in LA. They were a nightmare. That was always a bit dicey. Yeah. But like I said, going back to the whole car thing, like I've never really been like one for like Top Gear. Like I don't understand people that watch that and love it.
Yeah, no, Top Gear, well, also
go on,
Clarkson. Just really annoying.
Oh, I know.
Arrogance. Amen to that.
It's so funny you say that, because when we were talking about Christian Bale, I was thinking, well, at least he's never punched someone because they got their lunch order wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. So I was thinking,
On brand for this question.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you stand on this one? So you enjoy driving, but
enjoy driving.
You don't care about the car.
Could not care less. And people, I've always got, I always get like an electric hybrid because the tax is the lowest.
See, and another bit of good life advice.
That's why I do it for the car. You're so right, Katrina. That's why.
Nothing to do with the tax.
And people laugh at me for driving an eco car.
Oh.
But and my father's my father restores vintage cars. Oh. He would happily have the car in bed next to him instead of my mum. You know what I mean? That's where he is in the car spectrum. And so when he comes to London, he gets really agitated and passively aggressively, as a favour to me, goes and takes my car to the car wash and stuff like that. Because I don't even notice. I don't notice that.
Yeah, I don't notice.
It needs a wash or.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about me. I would happily get in pretty much any car, which goes against all advice given to you by your mother when you were a child. Don't get in a stranger's car. But I don't care. I don't judge people by their car. So I'm more likely to judge it by their shoes and by their car.
I'm going to say I kind of like.
But what I will say is
maybe I just have never driven a really fab, sexy car.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I want to do, and your dad probably, you can now buy like vintage cars. They have to be pre-1980, and then you can get them electrified.
Wow.
So they become electric cars.
My dad would be very in the Jeremy Clarkson camp on that.
Oh, really?
On that business. But he's
more about the engine rather than the chassis.
Have no idea what you just said, but it sounds good to me.
I'm just going to nod. But he was in a Bruce Beresford film, my dad.
Wow.
Because he's the one, and he's got these cars.
Oh.
And he had a 1950s car, and they dressed him up in 1950s clothes, and he drove around. He's like, yeah.
He's going to enjoy this film.
You will. I was going to say.
He definitely will.
Yeah. I may not get cars, but I get this film, Le Mans 66.
Yeah.
Go see it, everyone.
Nice.
Well, if you are sat there going, James, you big, massive nerd, get on board and enjoy cars, do send us emails. We love hearing from you guys. The usual email address isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Do send us any suggestions for future topics or just tell us what you think of the show. We'd love to hear from you. Next up, it's another one from me, I'm afraid. Right, is it just me? Because I'm looking at my company today on the show, and I realise I feel like, is it just me who's a massive failure for never having lived in another country?
Why would that make you a failure?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like it's a life experience. So doing that, I mean, obviously I've travelled, but I've never done the full right. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and make another life in another country. And, you know, obviously reading your CV, Katrina, it's that you've lived everywhere.
Yeah, far too many
times. I mean, obviously.
Where do you live now?
Now I live in Scotland. I have lived in London. I've lived, I suppose, how long has lived?
Yeah.
Oh, I think anything.
I mean, I've done like
3 months.
Three months.
And
Tokyo.
Obviously with modelling and stuff like that, you would.
New York.
Germany, New York, LA, Paris.
Do you have a favourite? Dare I say it?
Oh God! Well, each place is like it depends on the time. I mean, most of my 20s I spent in New York, which just doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't.
Like a good place to be in your 20s. I loved living in LA. I probably will go back there again. I don't know. Yeah,
every place has its charm.
Every place does have its charm. Paris was the first place I lived outside of Ireland.
Yeah,
so that's very quaint.
Where's the longest you've lived that isn't where you're from? Does that make sense?
Probably New York. I was in New York for 8 years.
Oh, okay. So that is living in New York.
Yeah. That's proper living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you think, but weirdly, do you have that? Because people tend to fall into New York or LA. Are you kind of?
No. Well, I mean, I was probably one of those annoying people. It's like, oh my God, LA is so disgusting. And then you move there and you're like, actually, LA is kind of cool.
I would live there in a heartbeat.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you're Australian. I think you'd love it. There's so many Aussies there because I think it's quite. Sydney and LA have a lot of similarities.
It's very true. Yeah.
Mm. But it's got sunshine.
Yeah.
You know that thing?
Because the New York winters are as bad as the London winters, aren't they?
No, but they're dry.
Are they?
A lot of the time.
Oh, are they?
They
get that Hollywood snow, don't they?
They get the snow and it's like freezing. It's absolutely Baltic, but it's dry cold.
It can be quite stinky sometimes as well.
New York in the summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very sweaty, lots of cockroaches and rats. Yeah. Which.
Oh, God. But they're a lovely combination.
Yeah.
But, Katrina, I guess my question for you then is, if you've had this kind of existence where you've lived all over the place, are you then.
I not know who I am and have no center? Yes, you're right.
Well, I was going to say, do you feel like you're less predisposed to be nostalgic? You know, because some people get very attached to things and, you know, places because they've only known one place or one home. Do you feel like you're less likely to hang on to things? You more like,
oh God, my husband would not agree with that.
You a hoarder, totally secret hoarder.
A hoarder. But at the same time, I think, oh God, it's so embarrassing. I actually have a storage unit still in LA and in New York. It's really, really bad.
And I bet you can't remember half the stuff that's in it, can you?
Oh, have no, like the storage unit in New York.
Bodies.
I mean, it's like coming up close to like a decade. That's wow. Like really embarrassing.
I've got one here that every now and again I remember I've got clothes in storage in London and I just forget about it. Oh. I wonder if they're still there.
I know, that's
they
what
will
I kind
be.
Of feel like.
Just assumed that I'm dead. Like, do you know what I mean? And just like, we may as well, someone's walking around enjoying those dresses that I didn't have time or space for at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know what's in there, but occasionally I'll remember one thing that I have in there and I'm like, oh, I'll have to get that out. And then I forget about it for another 6 months. And then you realize another year's gone by. And that's really embarrassing.
Yeah, they are. Well, that's what they bank on. They bank on making loads of money off people that basically forget they've
got
one.
And I'm the idiot who's giving it to them.
You're not
like
the only
really
one.
Really embarrassing.
Yeah, but you might need that stuff one day.
You will.
One day I will.
You know? You sort of like have to move to another country and assume a new identity, you'll have all that stuff ready there.
It's so bad.
That is true. It's an incentive to go back.
I've gone into a shame hole right now.
It is very gone girl.
Just like cringing at myself. Yeah.
So the truth is, you're massively sentimental. You do like to hang on to things.
I do. Yeah, I think maybe it's also because I have no home.
Oh. I mean, I have to ask you actually, because we should say belated happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
You recently, hard to believe, celebrated your 40th, right?
What?
Yes.
I know, I know. You look amazing.
When you were going on about being 30, I was like,
that's like 2
30.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
I have to ask you though, because when I turned 40, I had people literally come up to me and be a bit like, hold my hand and be like, how is it? Almost like I had some weird terminal illness. It's really weird how some people handle it way worse than you do. And I was actually fine with it because I thought, it's just another day. I was 39 yesterday. There's no big difference. How did you feel about it?
It's where you are at in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'm in a pretty happy place. I think I struggled more with 30 because I didn't know what I was doing and I wasn't where I wanted to be. But like, I'm happy.
Did you have one hell of a party?
Not really, because I've been working. So I was shooting the day before and I flew on my birthday to New York.
Oh, I hate flying on my birthday.
I was gonna say,
it was all right.
I'm really superstitious about it.
Tell me they gave you a bottle of champagne, please.
No.
What?
I'm really superstitious
about
it. Like, that's good. If this plane crashes, that's going to be on the news. Oh God, it was her birthday. She died on her birthday. That's what, do you know what I mean?
You couldn't write
like it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we had to go to Comic-Con. So I managed to like get a dinner in on Friday night with some friends, but it had to be slightly tame.
Yeah. There's definitely a party somewhere in the offing, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I, like the next day we did a panel in Madison Square Gardens and 6,000 people sang happy birthday to me. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. You kind of won the the 40th birthday.
That's
there.
Awesome.
That's pretty good. Well, happy birthday,
thank
Katrina.
You. Thank you very much.
Yes, and yes.
And I guess we've agreed that
we have.
Yes, you should be ashamed.
I'm terribly ashamed of many things. I'm a big loser for not living anywhere. But, you know, I never did the gap year either.
But here's the thing. Where would you go? Like,
well, this is the thing.
Would you like to live somewhere?
I think I've got a bit spoilt. Because to be honest, I always say, it sounds really naff, but I moved to London for university at 18. I always say London was the love
where
of my life.
From?
Wales. So I kind
so
of...
So you technically have moved to another country.
I have.
Wait,
I guess.
This is the whole
fallacy
of a premise. You've been lying this entire time.
We can fudge it to make me sound a lot more exotic. But you know, I always said, like, you moved to London and I felt like I won the lottery because I still maintain it's the best city in the world. So I guess you're then less inclined to go searching elsewhere, aren't you?
Well, I think one of my best friends is from Manhattan and, you know, she often talks about that. She was like, oh, maybe I should move somewhere. And you're like, well, you kind of understand if you're from Manhattan or, you know, London, you know, you're at the pinnacle.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
You've kind of won the geographic lottery.
You kind of have. Yeah. So where do you go
from
there?
That's the thing. When you're Australian, as beautiful and wonderful as Australia is, I just always felt like I was missing out on... because I wanted to work in the media.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit... Here, it's this hemisphere where more stuff is happening and there were more opportunities.
Yeah.
But then you don't realise, do you, how you're complicating your life when I've been here 27 years and I've got family here... And there.
We also have lots of love.
Difficult sometimes.
We have lots of lovely listeners, thanks to Joe, in Australia as well. So hello to everyone in Australia.
Hi. I love Australia.
And all those, lots of Outlander fans.
I was going to say, we're keeping the people happy in one podcast.
I actually got engaged in Australia.
Oh,
in Byron Bay.
Oh,
lovely.
Yeah,
fabulous. Lovely.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so this one is one I have to kind of admit to, because is it just me or do I feel like, where is it gone?
Sorry.
Do I feel like a massive fashion hypocrite because I'm someone who does this quite often? I slag off a trend when it's really trendy. And then when it's in the zeitgeist a little bit long, I'm like, oh, actually, I think I kind of like that.
And next thing you know, you're in it.
And then I'm wearing it and I'm doing it.
It's on Instagram.
And yet I'm not even...
Reporting to you live from jumpsuit land, where I issued the jumpsuit for years and now I can't actually move for the amount of jumpsuits I have. When did jumpsuits become mainstream? Suddenly everyone's got one, right?
And do you remember when it was like... Are we talking like boiler suits?
Yeah,
jumpsuits?
All of it. Dungarees. Don't you remember? I remember the first time I wore dungarees out, I felt so... Everyone's looking at me. I actually look like a giant baby. But now everybody wears them.
Yeah.
I have a few, and my husband has regularly asked me when I wear it. He's like, oh, you're going off to fix something.
Yeah. What time do you see BB's shift?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on this one, but I think I have now learned to not take the piss out of anything, because I do kind of know that I will come 6 months. I'll be like, yeah, I've got my head around that. Because I remember like the idea of me wearing socks with trainers and shorts in summer.
You're like, what are you doing?
What's that to German tourists? Like, you know, no, that's never going to work. And then lo and behold, I was doing it all this summer and kind of loving
it. No,
I missed
it.
I missed those socks. But it is weird. Why does that happen? And are we...
My husband always says to me, if Prada put sort of like, you know, bin liners with fish sewn on them as a skirt, you'd wear them, wouldn't you? And I was like, I don't want to say no. Probably at some point when it reached mango. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
Has
there
been...
I think there's something to when your eye gets used to it, it just doesn't look as crazy anymore. Because I have, like, when the big and I can't go full tilt into this. Oh well, I say it now. Talk to me in 6 months. But you know, these big chunky runners.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
The
ugly shoes.
I think they're ugly.
I'm going to put my neck on the line and say I will never get on board with that ugly, fuggly shoe.
I reckon I might.
Really?
Look at me.
Do you know what, Joe? I can believe you. Sorry, I already believe you.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with you. I think you need to bed in with something. Like when you first see it on the catwalk, you're like, oh, that looks ridiculous. And then you're right. The more you're sort of subliminally sort of exposed to it, the more you become...
It's a little bit like Stockholm Syndrome for fashion. You know, you kind of...
That's exactly what it is.
But by the time I'm embracing the big, chunky, fuggly trainers...
It's all back.
Fashion will have moved on. And I'll just look so behind.
We just don't want to look trendy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's probably a good job because I never will. Do you know what I mean? I never will.
But it is a hard one, is it? Because you're trying to find the balance between following trends, but obviously not just jumping on anything.
Not being a victim.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah. Well, you're rocking the volume trend today.
See? Yeah. I'm a victim.
I like it. It looks fab.
Be out and proud.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's
but were you slagging off this trend 6 months ago? That's the question. Are you this fashion hypocrite?
I think I've always liked Katrina's got a beautiful baby dolly.
Yeah, it's like a baby doll sort of Victorian neck. It's got like a lovely
little puffy sleeve.
Yeah, puff sleeve in like an animalish brown print.
It's a snakeskin brown.
If I wore that, I would look like whatever happened to Baby Jane.
That's not true.
But it looks fabulous on you.
Now I'm rethinking my fashion choice.
No, it's lovely.
I'm too old to wear it, is what I'm saying.
No,
I would just look like the, you know, trying to relive my youth. Look fabulous.
My next question to us was going to be, what is the sort of, is there an absolute hard never going to go there? You know, there's one trend you've eschewed for years and years and years, and doesn't matter how many times it comes back around in the cyclical nature of fashion, you're never going to get on board with. Is there like a hemline? Is there like a style or something?
I mean, I've never, even when I was young enough, me and miniskirts were not friends.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But you're very tall and slender.
I was very tall and very skinny, like really skinny. So to the point where I would think, I'd be really self-conscious about my legs. And the one time I did wear a shorter skirt, I thought, oh God, everyone's supposed to want to be thin like me. Just embrace it, be confident. And I walked outside and a man on Tottenham Court Road, a homeless man, went, chicken legs!
Oh my God, I used to get called that as a kid.
So, and I was like, oh,
all
God,
the best
so
people are, clearly. It's a good thing.
But that's the thing, I remember thinking, okay, so it's not just you. Your legs are weird skinny. Oh. Put them away. So, yeah.
Horrible man. Boo.
He spoke the truth, the drunken truth.
No.
How about you, Katrina? Is there something you will never,
I mean,
ever...
I hate to say I'll never, because when you see I will.
Because you're such a massive fashion hypocrite.
Yes, exactly. I've never been into those like bandage super sexy dresses that just sort of like...
You've got to be a particular type of woman, don't you think?
Yeah, and like a particular figure that's sort of like voluptuous and like curvy. You know, I think for us tall, I won't say that we're gangly, but we're, you know, but we...
Say it, Katrina.
It doesn't really fit with what we're putting out.
No.
And I've just never been that Babytron girl. Do you know what I mean?
Me
and
neither.
I think you've got to feel like you are to wear one of those, what are they, Hervé Leger
dresses. It has to come with like, you know, this like luscious mane and, you know, a really tannable skin, I think, as well. I think that's
I hear you there. That's not going to...
Cheryl is what you're saying. You've got to look like sort of Cheryl circa 2006.
Cheryl.
Cole.
Oh, right.
Oh, I think she's just Cheryl now.
I think. I think so.
But yeah, is there anyone, I mean, are you somebody though, Katrina, that you kind of know your own style, or are you more likely to listen to other people's opinion? Because I always find that quite interesting when people, because like I said, I have friends who literally do their own thing. They never ask you your opinion. And then I've got other people who literally can barely get dressed in the morning without checking in with you to ask you what you think of what they put on.
I think I have a good sense of what I like and don't like, but I think because I spent like 10 years in the fashion industry and I wore such a wide variety of things, that what I am attracted to is all over the place.
I was going
to
say,
do you know what I mean? Like, I sort of appreciate fashion for sort of its construction and the design, but it sort of has no through line in some way.
I was going to ask that. I wonder if you go one of two ways in that respect. If you've been forced to put on everything through a career in modeling, you either go, actually, it's opened my eyes and I'll now wear anything, or does it make you go, oh, I hate having to wear it, so I now like what I like? So you're more likely to be experimental, do you think, as a result?
I think so. And I think sometimes that has led me astray. And to make some very dubious choices.
What is that? Is there one that haunts you to this day? A dubious red carpet?
I mean, I think more when we first started, especially with Outlander, you're on a new show and it's just what's available to you, because, you know, all these fashion houses, they lend out to people and they will only lend out to people who are in a certain position, and, you know, the show has a certain popularity or blah, blah, blah. So yeah, in the beginning when I was like, please, may I have something to wear? There was a couple of duds. There's a couple of things I look back on and I'm like, what?
But you were just so grateful you put it on anyway.
Yeah, but it's also this weird thing that you sort of are, you think you have to borrow something. Whereas if I just... been confident enough to go into my own closet, yeah. I probably yeah. like 10 times better.
So true. I think Bryce Bryce Dallas Howard now does that, I think. She says she's done with the borrowing. She now just wears things from her own closet.
And she looks amazing.
Yeah, because yeah, she knows what works for her. Exactly. She said, again, I think she's not a sample size. She found it more demoralizing trying to yeah. fit into but trends and
can
sizes.
Can I ask you something I've always wanted to ask catwalk models? It's like, because I sit at the shows a lot and mm-hmm. and I was wondering, sometimes I look at them and think, have they all had a conversation backstage going, how the fuck am I actually going to walk in this? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever had that where you just think, I don't know how I'm going to get there and back in? Could be these shoes or this skirt that's got no leg room.
Always an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you do your fitting, which can sometimes be 3 hours before the show at, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
At least that's the way it used to be. I mean, this is, you know, this is a couple of years ago since I left my catwalk days. You know, usually you'll get a chance to walk up and down, and if it's a complicated skirt or something, you'll try and figure that out. But the shoe thing is ridiculous. I mean, one of my first ever big shows, and I'll never forget this. It was the 30th anniversary of Kenzo, and I had just started, and it was this massive, massive, like the coolest fashion show, and they had the Gypsy Kings playing, and Kenzo came down on a rotating globe, and I was following.
Really cool.
And it was very cool. I mean, it was back then. But no, the cool part was right
the shade,
in front of
Joe
me
Elvin.
Was Iman.
Oh wow!
And David Bowie.
Come on, now it's okay. gone cool again.
Now
shut
it's
up.
Gone cool. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Gypsy
Redeemed.
Kings. Come
Redeemed.
On. Come on.
Yeah.
Future reference: lead with David Bowie in Iman.
Okay, okay. That was the whole point. But I had been given a pair of shoes that were like 3 sizes too small and flat. So if you can imagine, your toes are scrunched and you're like hobbling, waddling. And I had to follow Iman down the catwalk. Oh, wow. And let me tell you, like, she sashays away.
Yeah, she's yeah. like, a glamazon.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's total glamazon. And you just, yeah, it's just, they never fit. I don't know, but you just, yeah.
I don't think people realise how models suffer.
I was going to say.
And I'm not even being slightly sarcastic.
No, I know.
I'm
Everyone really thinks it's the glamour. They don't see that side of it. But
anyway.
Oh, yes. Well, on that note, Katrina, yeah. thank you. on that very sad shoe. crumpled toe.
Sad model feet.
The floor behind her shoes.
It is.
Comfortably.
She doesn't need them yeah. now. Look at her. She's yeah. in a hit TV show and soon to be a hit film.
Yeah.
Do check out Katrina's new film, Le Mans 66. If you're a petrol head or not, you will love it. Absolutely.
Yes, for more than just people who like cars.
Absolutely.
It's history. History.
Katrina, thank you for joining us and all our nonsense this week.
This has been really fun.
Oh,
thank you.
Good luck. You're welcome back anytime. Good
thank
luck
you.
With everything. And thank you everyone for listening. We will see you again next week.
See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.